welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
There's no time to be the fairy tale Jesus, because you are Christians, aren't you, most of you? Right? You are like Christ. You walk like him. So therefore, there's no time to be sort of the classic fairy tale Jesus, the sort of Jesus that skips along through the tulips handing out daisies, you know. Oh, the Lord loves you. The Lord loves you. Do you like my white nightie and my open toes? See, well, that's what I was shown all these pictures of Jesus at school, and he always had a white nightie on, and he always had open-toed sandals, and he looked a bit of a pansy, to be honest, you know. He certainly didn't look like somebody that I wanted to follow, but I tell you, we follow the champion of champions. Hallelujah. We follow a hero. This is no man that went around handing out daisies. In fact, this is the man that walked into the temple and turned all the tables upside down, saying, "This is a house of prayer." Yes. Amen. This is the man that would dare to give up his life for others when at any moment he could have stopped the whole process. This is a man of courage. This is a man who, because he was following God's will, after he was baptized in the Spirit, walked into the desert and spent 40 days in the desert. Not a pleasant experience. It's hot out there. And it can be very cold at night as well. Not pleasant, but he did it because he was a hero and he had a job to do and he got on with it. That's what Christians are. Actually, we're heroes. We're champions. We're warriors. We're men of God. And there's some men of God in this room. Male and female men of God. Because we're all warriors. Hallelujah. Maybe some of the women are Amazon warriors. I don't know. Hallelujah. But we're warriors. We're people that are called not just to have a nice time, not just called to bless. We're called to do those. You know, we are called to bless. But there's something about us that's different. Okay? There's something about us that changes the atmosphere of the room. You know, if we go to a party, it should be a better party because we're there. Because you take the atmosphere of God. When Jesus went to a party, it didn't all go, "Oh, we better behave ourselves." They enjoyed having Jesus there. He joined in with the party. He didn't join in with the sin, but he joined in with the party. Hallelujah. He even made them more wine when they were running out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, it says very clearly, don't get drunk on wine. Very, very clearly. But Jesus still made more for them. You see, because God treats you like adults. He puts before you a choice. There's every opportunity to do everything that's wrong. You say, how could he make wine when some people must have got drunk on it? He makes all the wine in all the world and people get drunk on it.
That's right.
Hallelujah. God places before us choices and opportunities. Amen? I'm going to talk to you this morning on what can I offer you? What can I offer you? Well, the answer is nothing. I can't offer you anything. But I do know a Father that offers you everything.
Amen?
Amen? He could offer you everything. I could offer you nothing in myself. But because God has placed me here as the pastor of this church, I can offer you everything that is in this word. And it comes backed up with the reality of a God who is in heaven who wants to make a difference in people's lives. And what can you offer this world? You can offer this world everything. Everything. Hope, challenge, excitement, adventure, peace, joy, understanding, comfort. You have everything, the world's resources, plus, 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 because they are God's resources at your fingertips. Or at your sort of spiritual fingertips. I can't offer you anything. What can I offer you as your leader? Nothing. But I can offer you everything in Christ. Amen. I'll tell you what I'll offer you. I will offer you. In Christ, I will offer you an adventure.
Amen.
In Christ, I will offer you a challenge. In Christ, I will offer you persecution. In Christ, I will offer you bleeding feet. You didn't all say amen. We might come back to that. If I don't, it will just be an anachronism on the tape or the recording. Hallelujah. Now I can offer you a life of adventure. You know, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are? The name of the Lord is a?
Strong.
The righteous?
Run.
And they are?
Safe.
Safe. Okay, safe but not boring. Safe but not comfortable. Safe but not conventional. Safe but not the same as everything else. Anybody here, you're called to stand out. You're called to be different. You are unique. You know, people when you're at work will probably say to you, oh, what are you? Are you a Sagittarian? You know, are you Aries? Are you whatever all the others are? I can't remember them now. You know, and they'll say, oh, that means then that you're like this. That means you're kind and loving and you occasionally make mistakes. I tell you what, you are none of those. You are born under one sign, and that sign is the cross.
Amen.
And that cross gives you complete freedom to be the unique person that God has called you to be. You don't have to have a horoscope tell you what's going to happen to you. You don't have to have a horoscope telling you what your personality is like. You are you. You are created unique, different. You don't have to have a certain hairstyle. You don't have to wear certain clothes. If you want to, you can, but you don't have to. You are free under the sign of the cross.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And if your birth sign says that you're normally forgetful, that's absolutely rubbish, because you're unique in Christ to be the unique you that you were created to be.
Amen.
You're free.
Come on.
Hallelujah. So if you get asked what birth sign you are, you know now. You're the sign of the cross. What's that one? It's the sign of freedom. Yes. You're bound to be a Sagittarian. I'm bound by Jesus to be free.
Amen.
Amen. I don't need anybody telling me. Hallelujah. So what can I offer you? A life of adventure, but not comfort. There's some sort of daggers almost going up through your seat as we say this message this morning. And it's, ooh, 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 ooh. Hallelujah. Safe, comfortable Christianity belongs in the rubbish bin. Jesus was never safe and comfortable. Everybody around him was sometimes a little bit on edge about what he might do next. You know? Suddenly he might be walking on water out towards you. One minute he was praising Peter for what he said, then Peter blew it and he's saying, get behind me, Satan. He was a dynamic, exciting person to follow. He still is the most dynamic, exciting person in the universe to follow. The church's worst miracle is it takes this awesome God, the one we were looking at that's created all the stars in the universe, this amazing man that walked on the earth as Jesus, and made him boring and safe and fluffy with daisies. Oh. Hallelujah. What can I offer you? Nothing. Nothing at all. But in Christ, by his grace, as part of this church, and I am being specific this morning, we normally generalize it out and talk about all Christians, but the Lord said to me this morning, I want you to address them as Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Okay, if you're a guest here, the Lord will still speak to you. The Lord is still speaking a message to you, but this is specifically you guys sitting here and guys listening at the moment on the computer recording. This is for you to hear as Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. What can I offer you? I can offer you nothing. But in Christ, I can offer you a place in a generation that stands out. That's what we are called to be. All right, I can offer you a place with a generation that's called to be different. I can offer you a place with a generation that has a story to tell. I can offer you a place with a generation that knows what it is to be in an adventure.
Amen.
Amen. I used to love the Enid Blyton books, you know, when I was a kid. Not so much the famous five ones, but there was the other ones, the Island of Adventure, the Castle of Adventure, the Mountain of Adventure, you know. If you're too young to know about that, don't worry about it. But those kids were always having an adventure. There was always something happening. And they were very individual children. They were a bit weird looking back on it, you know. But, you know, one had a parrot, one had a snail in his pocket, whatever. But they were different and they had adventures. But you see, that's the church. This is the Scarborough adventure. This is the Yorkshire adventure. This is the adventure of 2008 and 2009. And adventures do have a little bit of danger. They do have excitement. They do have... So don't be surprised when things happen in your life that make you feel like, I don't know if I can cope with this. I don't know if I can cope. Is this for me? You know, as a Christ follower, it's part of our DNA to make a difference. Christians who serve themselves and their family end up bored, sick, and miserable because they're not actually doing what is in their very genes to do. Because when you were born again, this is what God gave you. If you don't know the Lord here this morning, you might be thinking, what is he talking about? I'm talking about what you can have. I'm talking about what you will be when you say yes to Jesus. An adventurer. You say, well, I'm too beaten up for that. Well, we'll come to that. Don't you remember the bleeding feet? We're coming back to the bleeding feet. What can I offer you? as your pastor, as your leader, I tell you what I'll offer you. Bruises, hard knocks, difficulties, and rebukes. Woo! But actually, that is part of life, isn't it? You know, I'm not offering you this sort of sanitized version of Christianity that says nothing is ever going to go wrong. Things go wrong. Things happen that we don't like. We get knocked. We get bruised. It's life. Let's get up and go on.
Yes.
Amen. Sometimes, you know, there's the, you know, who knows the poem about the footprints? You know, the footprints in the sand. Raise your hands if you know that poem, so I can see how much I need to retell it. Oh, you, I think absolutely everybody in the room tells it. And isn't that comforting? Okay, because he says that there's two sets of footprints, and then the guy says, but there's only one set of footprints, and when it got difficult, and the Lord says, that's because I picked you up and put you on my shoulders. You know, just think for a minute, actually, is that what happened? Because sometimes I think we turn and we say, Lord, when it was really difficult, I noticed there was only one set of footsteps. And the Lord says, well, look, son, I'm never going to lead you. I'm never going to leave you. But sometimes I don't just pick you up and give you hugs and carry you. Sometimes I'm training you to be a warrior and a champion that takes on the world and changes it. You're not a baby that needs an RRR all the time. Sometimes I just say, come on, child, get up. I've given you everything you need.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And I watch you walk. He's never not there. He's always there. He does pick us up. But there are other times when he says, come on, I'm training you as a champion. I'm training you as a warrior. Amen. These are the people that in Christ change the world and make a difference. These are the people that will change this nation. Somebody, I can't remember it was, said, are you going to change the name of the church to Kingdom Faith World? Once after I've been speaking. Well, Kingdom Faith is about the world. We're part of a big group of people who all belong to Kingdom Faith, and our vision is the world. We have a local vision, we have a regional vision, and we have a worldwide vision. Because Jesus has a local vision, a regional vision, and a worldwide vision, and a very intimate personal vision for your life, which is about raising you up as a champion. Amen? Now, I'm going to go to a passage that is almost infamous. There's so many books published about it. Okay? It's the one about Jabez. I mentioned it at a God encounter not long ago. If you've got a Bible, you can turn to it. It's 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Hallelujah. This man, Jabez, is very, very interesting. Let me start a little bit further back in this chapter. Read you a little bit from chapter 3. Are you ready? Listen hard. Solomon's son was Rehoboam. Abijah was his son. Asa was his son. Jehoshaphat was his son. Jeroboam was his son. Azaziah was his son. Joash his son. Amaziah his son. Azariah his son. Jotham his son. Ahaz his son. Hezekiah his son. Manasseh his son. Amon his son. Josiah his son. The sons of Josiah. Johan the firstborn. Joachim the second son. Zedekiah the third. Shalom the fourth. The successors of Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim his son. And Zedekiah. The descendants of Joachim his captive. Shetiel his son. Makariam. Pedariah. Shenazah. Jechamiah. Hoshemiah, Nebadiah, the sons of Pedadiah, Zerubbabel and Shimei, the sons of Zerubbabel. It goes on and on and on and on. Hallelujah. I wonder how many of those I got right. Hallelujah. See, you speak with confidence and people just think you're right. I don't know whether they're right. The sons of Kenaz, this is after it. The sons of Kenaz, Othaniel and Sariah. The sons of Othaniel, Halthar and... Oh, dear, we go. We'll stop there now. I'm on a winning streak. And there, in the middle... is Jabez. And suddenly, instead of and Jabez, and then his son, and his son, and his son, there's a break, and it's like there's a spotlight comes in and shines on just a little tiny aspect of this man's life. We don't know anything else about him other than this little passage here, but for some reason, God wanted him to be highlighted here. I think there's a slight echo there, Dave. You could turn my voice down a little bit. Jabez was more honourable than his brothers. Honourable. Why was he more honourable? Wouldn't you like the Lord to say over you, Andrew was more honourable than his brothers? You probably don't want that if your name's Cecilia, but you know, you get the point. Cecilia was more honourable than her sisters and brothers. What was this word? The word honourable in Hebrew is kabed. Okay? And the word means heavy, or weighty. This man was heavy. This man was weighty. There was something about him. He walked into the room, it was different. Okay, it means abounding. It actually even means gloriously respected. It even means became fierce and distinguished. Can I just say over you, you are kabed. You are honourable in the Lord already. You just need to let it out, if you haven't already. You are weighty because the Lord's anointing is upon you. You are fierce because the Spirit of the Lord is fierce within you. Doesn't the Word of God say that the kingdom of God suffers violence and violent men take it by force? There's a job out there to do. It needs men and women of God who are champions, who are warriors, who will take what God is saying to the church and put it into practice. Whatever that is, whether it's on the streets talking about Jesus or whether it's changing the toilet roll because you care for the next person. These are things that champions do because it's about caring and looking out for others and taking on the battle. You've all gone very, very quiet. Jabez was more honourable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, and his name means sort of like pain or sorrow, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. So right over his birth, this tiny little baby, he gets spoken over him, sorrow and pain. That's not a good beginning. Fancy being called sorrow or pain. What's your name, kid? Pain. Yeah, you're right, pain, aren't you? Yeah? It obviously speaks of a very rough start to life. He didn't roll the dice right. Okay, he didn't get a good bed and a comfortable place. He got named Pain. It doesn't speak to me of a mother who said, oh, my darling little Jabez. It speaks of a mother of pain, sorrow. And he could have lived by what had been spoken over him, even by his parent. He could have gone with what had been spoken over him by others. Every time they called him by his name, sorrow and pain was spoken over him. He could have lived by that. I don't know what gets spoken over you that isn't of God. You can live by that. That's your choice. Or you can rise up. You can allow God to help you to stand up and walk in your own footsteps. You don't need cuddly wuddlies. The Lord has got more respect for you from that as an adult, as a human being. Sure, he will throw his arms around you and hug you when you need it. But that's not all he does. He's much stronger than that. Hallelujah. You still with me here? Hallelujah. What can I offer you? Remember, bruises, knocks, difficulties, rebukes, corrections, mistakes, tension. Hallelujah. And victory over all of these. That's what I can lead you in. Because I'm following somebody that leads us in that direction. Paul, St. Paul, the one who wrote loads of the New Testament, said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Every one of us, leaders and individuals, should be able to say to others, well, imitate me as I imitate Christ. This is the way in it. Amen? What can I offer you? Victory, as we learn to follow him who is the victor. All right, okay, let's get on with a little bit more here. Jabez was more honourable. Okay, so he had pain and sorrow spoken over him, but he chose not to live like that. Because it says here, Jabez, verse 10, Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. This is all we know about this man. What was different? What made him more honourable? He was a man that would cry out to God and say, help me, Lord. He decreed things over his life. He spoke them out, expecting God to answer them. And God granted his request. That's what God says to us. What did he ask for? Blessing. That word blessing doesn't just mean blessing. It means abundantly blessed. It means overflowing blessings. Lord, bless me. How many of you pray, Lord, bless me? Amen. Yeah, do you? Lord, bless me. And don't feel just a tingy-wingy bit guilty about it. Hallelujah. We don't need. That's what God wants us to pray. Because when we're blessed, we can help others. We can be a blessing to others. You still with me here? Enlarge my territory. Enlarge, again, means abundance or numerous or considerable or multiplication. Lord, make me more effective. Enlarge my territory. the word for territory is like borders. Take me into bigger and greater things, Lord, that I can do more in your name. There are world changers in this room. You're a world changer in Christ. Or you can just have a boring one. Or you can just go the rest of the way, the rest of the world. It's your choice. It's always our choice. When Jesus changed the water into wine, you could have drunk a whole jar if you'd wanted to. And you wouldn't have remembered anything else that happened that night. It's your choice. Or you could have had a few glasses or whatever it was. Maybe that's a bit too much if it was the best wine. But I just remember what a great party it was. And you remembered all about Jesus turning the water into wine and being blessed. It's always a choice that God puts before you, because he doesn't treat you like a little kid. Even they have to be given choices. You know, you start with, do you want to wear this or this morning? You don't open the cupboard up and say, what do you want to wear? Because they'll just go. Or maybe you do. Or maybe if you do, you're not actually here yet. Because she, at 3, is still choosing. Anyway, and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me. God's hand is, the word there is ra. No, sorry, that's the other word. This is yad. Yah means adversity and harm. You don't want that to be with me. Let your yad be with me. Your hand be with me. It means God's allegiance. It means God's arm. It means his strong right arm. It means his authority. I did mention on at the God encounter, it also means armpits, but I don't think that's the valid interpretation. Let your armpits be with me, Lord, here in this particular case. But let your hand, your authority be with me. In other words, when you speak out, when you do things, God does it for you, with you, with his authority. Amen? And keep me from harm. That means adversity, calamities. That's the word I just mentioned, ra. Discomfort, distress, evil, hurt, sorrow, trouble, wickedness, wrongdoing. It's okay to pray to be saved from these things. Keep me from harm. Keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. Amen. And the word granted is just translated or transliterated into English letters as B-O, bow. It literally means the Lord comes or even invades. Okay, and keeps on coming. So when it says the Lord granted his request, how did the Lord grant his request? He came. He invaded his life and went through every aspect of his life. When you say, Lord, bless me, and the Lord grants your request, the Lord comes and he invades your life and changes it. All right? Now, hold all that there, because I want to just talk about something else. Well, not really, but it all follows together. Okay? What's this verse here? Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And how many people in this room have been hurt? Hurt's a funny word. You don't need to put your hand up, sorry. Hurt's a funny word because when, say there's a football match going on and one of the players gets hurt, he's hurt at that instant, but then afterwards he's recovering. Hurt is supposed to be, bang, you're hurt, and afterwards, when the situation is removed, you are recovering. And yet we hear a lot of in the church, I've been hurt. Well, if you've been hurt, you're recovering. Okay? The Lord is repairing what's gone wrong. It's not, this Christianity that we have is not just a thing of personal comfort or personal protection or personal pampering. All right? It's not a Jesus pamper party. Now, the feet business. Romans 11, verse 15 says, how beautiful are the feet of him who brings good news. And it's taken from a verse in Isaiah which says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him. All right? How beautiful are the feet of him who brings good news. Now, have a think about your feet. Don't necessarily get them out and have a look. If we put a pair of feet on a black velvet cushion and offer them to Claire, she's unlikely to say, "Oh, they're beautiful. Thank you, Paul. A pair of feet." Or I could put those feet, neatly severed, no, those feet, on a bed of crushed diamonds and offer them to Claire. And she'll go, "Oh, the feet are gorgeous." She might grab the diamonds, but the feet. "Oh, the feet are gorgeous. Feet, I don't know about you, but generally speaking, feet aren't beautiful." How about newborn babies? When you see a newborn baby, so often you hear people say, "Oh, she's beautiful," or "he's beautiful." Well, in reality, they look like little aliens, don't they? Oh, no, come on. A newborn baby really, really looks pretty. They look all squashed, you know? You can have an ear up here and an ear down here and a flat nose and ears like this, and they can be purple and they can have ridges in their head. Newborn babies are ugly. But you see them as beautiful. Why do you see them as beautiful? Because you see the beauty of a new life. You see that potential of what that life can do, and you see beauty. And that's why the feet are beautiful. Now, the feet that bring good news are beautiful because you can see the potential of new life that it brings. And if someone comes to you with good news, and if they walk across the mountains, if you walk across mountains in bare feet, your feet are going to be bruised, they're going to be battered, and they're going to be bleeding. But to the person you get to, your feet are beautiful because you've brought good news. Yeah? And I want to say something about you as a whole person. A lot of people here have probably been hurt or battered or have been bleeding or get bruised or get hurt. Yeah? And you sort of think, well, where then does that stand with this passage? "Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." How do I reconcile the two? Let's go back to the pain bit for a minute. I mean, for example, if you've got clean feet, you haven't walked very far. You ain't done nothing yet. It's the dirty, smelly, slightly battered and bleeding feet that are the beautiful ones. No matter how ugly that nail is on their big toe. No matter what corns it's got, it's beautiful because of what it represents. I can't stop laughing at Donna's face over there. The bleeding feet actually are a stamp of authenticity. They show that you've done something. They show that you've bothered. They show that you care. And it's the same with your life. The bruises you've got. The scar of 2001 when you were blamed for something that you didn't do. Or the bruise of 98 when your best friend abandoned you when you needed her. Maybe you were sick and you needed that friend to come and look after you. Yeah? Suddenly you begin to realize that these hurts that are no longer hurts because you're recovering from them, because that's what footballers do. They don't go around saying it hurts. Well, maybe some of them do. Maybe we should talk about rugby players. Anyway. They're not actually hurts. Those bruises, those scars are badges of honour because you didn't give up. You went on. So every hurt you've ever had, every bruise that's on your body is actually something to say, "Look at this one." Because you're a warrior. And what's a warrior without cuts and bruises? Can you imagine, you know, in Viking times, one of the tribe, "I'm a mighty warrior." "But you haven't got a single bruise or cut." "Yes, but I'm a mighty warrior. I've never actually had a fight, but I'm a mighty warrior." You know, he'd be kicked out of the camp. What about the limp of 2008? When your talents were ignored. Maybe Pastor Paul Aber totally overlooked your gifting and appointed somebody else who was much younger. I don't know. He's given you a limp. He gave your ministry to somebody else. That limp is your beauty. Because you refused to get in a sulk. You didn't leave in a huff, unless you've already left. But I'm talking to you lot, and you lot by definition haven't left yet. Maybe at the end of the talk, but not yet. The fact that you refuse to sulk, the fact that you refuse to leave, that injury, whatever it is, whatever slight it is, becomes another mark of a champion. Because the reality is, our lives are one of bruises and knocks and difficulties. And there's far, the things I mentioned there are slight things compared to what can go on in our lives. You can have real suffering, real hurt, abuse from your family, like Jabez. But instead of seeing it as something that drags you down, realize the fact that you are here and saying, I'm following God, is actually a large badge that says you're something. That actually says, I'm making a difference. I'm going on. I am a champion of the Lord. And when Jabez, who had already gone through sorrow and pain, it had been spoken over him all over his life, prayed this prayer, keep me from harm, that I will be free from pain. He meant, keep me from living in a pit of despair because I've been hurt, and teach me to live free from the pain that I undergo. He had had pain. He'd had suffering. He'd had it all his life. So he wasn't praying, Lord, let me live in Disneyland. Life was even tougher then. He was going to get scars and bumps in just his everyday life, wasn't he? But he knew that he could say to the Lord, Lord, keep me from harm. Don't let it drag my life down into the pit. Don't let it put me in the well. Don't let it drag me further and further down. Yes, I've had problems with this, or I've had problems with alcohol, or problems with drugs, or problems with sex, or problem with whatever it is. But the fact that you're here today means it's not something that drags you down. It's not something to be ashamed of. It's forgiven. It's washed clean. And the fact that you've struggled and you're here is a badge that says you're a champion and a warrior and you're going on with God. Amen? And suddenly hurts, you realize, aren't hurts at all. They're badges of honor. The scar, the limp, the broken arm. No, that would be still broken, wouldn't it? The recovered broken arm with a slight kink in it because it didn't heal too well. These are life. These are the times when God actually trains you to be far more effective than you would otherwise be if you were surrounded in cotton wool. One of the theories of the rise of asthma and eczema in children in this day and age is that they're living in such sanitized worlds. You know, even fairy liquid is antibacterial now, you know. Everything's antibacterial. You know, and everything is ultra protected for them. Whereas in the old days, you know, you went out and you ate dirt, didn't you? But you did, didn't you? So did I. But and because you've got these germs going around your body, your defense system attacked the germs and sort of killed them off and sort of, you know, grew stronger. We're super tough anti-germ agents in little Danny's body. All right. Or little Paulie's body in my case. But because they're living in such a sanitized world, there are some theories, and we don't know whether it's right or it isn't right, but it's an interesting theory, that the eczema and the asthma is coming as the body's internal defenses, they're so bored, well, maybe not literally bored, but you know what I mean. They're so bored, they attack something that's handy, like the skin or the breathing system, and things break down because the body's actually fighting against itself because it's just not used or wasn't built for such a perfect surroundings. Mind you, I wouldn't, you know, go and feed your children dirt as a result of this. But you get the point. You know, it's when you meet the opposition, it's what makes you stronger. Yeah. What enables you, if you get inoculated against a disease, very often what you're given is the disease in a minor form so that your body, we know what measles is like now. Measles comes along. Okay? And the circumstances of life that God allows you to go through, good, bad, or whatever they are, actually, if you realize what they are, cause you to be far stronger, not weaker. Amen? And when somebody, to somebody else in the church, because it happens, doesn't it? You know, they do something, they ignored you, they didn't say hello. I mean, that's very minor compared to some of the things we've been talking about. And sometimes you can feel a little bit hurt. Well, if you were hurt, you're now recovering. And it's gone. Move on. Rise up in the champion spirit that God has got for you. You know, Jesus didn't sort of go around saying, I'm not having you back. You left me yesterday. I'm only having the 12 because they've been extra loyal. He could have been very hurt by all the people that left him. But he was a warrior. He was a champion. He knew that those experiences would only make him stronger in the Lord and cause him to depend upon him. Amen? If we could look into heaven at the moment, according to John's revelation, it says, "There I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain." The ultimate warrior is bleeding. The ultimate warrior is scarred. God places his strengths on our weaknesses. Where we're weak, we should be strong, because that's where the Lord can work. When you feel humiliated, the Lord can work through you. When you feel downbeaten, the Lord can work through you. When you feel like you can accomplish anything, you won't accomplish anything in the Lord. I want to finish with a quote that I found. This is from Theodore Roosevelt, President of the United States, from 1901 to 1909. So a little bit of history to finish with you. But here's this little quote here is about what it really means for us as Christians, as champions. You know, the challenge on us at the moment is to learn to love one another and to get better and better at being a family, isn't it? That's the challenge. How do we rise up and be a champion in that? Well, we don't expect somebody else to do it to us. We do it. Nobody's ever invited me. Yeah, but how many have you invited? How many people have you gone up to and said, "Can I come round for a cup of tea?" And some people say, "Well, it's difficult to have people around my house." Well, go and ask if you can go to theirs. They're not going to say, "That's a bit rude." Because they can't. Because I've just stood here and told you to do it. And it might be a bit of a challenge for some of us, but you know, I think, how about a few impromptu knocks on the door? You know, it's good. Elka and Nigel did it to us the other Sunday, didn't you? And we were you'd already eaten, and we were cooking a barbecue. But it was a very unusual Sunday. It was just me and Kate, but we just ate our barbecue and chatted to them and had a nice afternoon. They did. That just popping in. Yeah? It's cool. Anyway, Theodore Roosevelt to finish. "It is not the critic who counts, nor the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who knows the great enthusiasm, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who have never known neither victory or defeat." Amen? Champions. Rise up in you. Amen? We're not going to have a time of ministry because the Lord's not telling me to do that. We've got to take up our offering. We haven't shown the video news thing because I wanted to get straight into the word this morning, but we're going to take up our offering. But as we do that, if you're a guest, remember you don't have to put anything in it. You don't have to pay to be here, but you might want to sow into what God's doing here. But as you stand up in a minute, stand up knowing that the bruises and the limps and the scars are not something to be ashamed of, but they show that you are truly one of God's champions. Amen? Amen. Let's stand then and let's have the worship team.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.